Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, picking up where we were last time, we're going to read verse 5 through verse 12. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily or truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I'm asking for the power of God to help me to preach it. And please do as Paul prayed, to enlighten the eyes of the understanding of those listening. Open their ears that they might hear, and in their spiritual eyes that they would see the Lord Jesus Christ and want to follow him, want to dedicate their lives anew perhaps to him, or what have you. But Lord, please help. Please do something in these few minutes we have left. And I praise and worship you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I've been sick for several weeks. I'm sure I sound like a frog today, congested, what have you, but if you pray for me, please pray that God would strengthen me and heal me in this problem I have and maybe some others that linger on. But pray more that God would help me to preach. I'm your evangelist, I'm your missionary, what have you. Please pray for me that the power of God would rest upon me, and that when I preach, souls would be touched, hearts would be pricked. If I'm in a revival meeting or something, that the altars would be full of people crying out to God, repenting and wanting to get closer to him. If I'm on the radio, well, I preach to tens of thousands of people, I suppose, every Sunday morning. I ask God that he would help me as I preach on the radio. Please pray for me. I need it. And I thank you very much for it. Now, I've got 3 pages of notes here, and I'm not going to get through them. And really, this is the first part of a 2-part lesson on these few verses I just read. I want to talk about the obvious miracle. The man was healed. And humility that he had, and authority, and faith in action that he had. And I want to talk about the Roman centurion, and I want to talk about Gentiles. And then I want to talk about the kingdom of Israel being cast into outer darkness, Christ said, because they rejected their Messiah. That part will come next lesson. I'm not going to finish this. I understand that, but I want to see how far I can get. So there's the obvious miracle. And this chapter, chapter 8, and about half of chapter 9, there are a number of miracles that are performed by the Lord, and as I get to the end of that part, I'll go over them and perhaps shed some light on the miracles and why he did them and what they stand for and what have you. But this man's servant, we say palsy, it could be, what's the one where the people have a hard time walking and they kind of shuffle along? I can't call the name right now, but it's something that we suffer from today here in America when we get old, what have you. Parkinson's, I think it's called. We suppose that that's what he had. Couldn't walk, what have you. But he came to the Lord and said, "Will you please heal?" And Jesus said, "Well, hey, let's drop everything. How far is it? A couple of miles. Let's go to your house and let's pray for the man and I'll heal him." And if that had happened, we would be shouting today. But that's not what happened. The man said, "Oh, you know, I appreciate it, Lord. I really do. But," he said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." You know, today we're the head and not the tail. Today we're more than conquerors. Today we're this and that, the righteousness of God in Christ, and all of this, we, us, look at how great we are, how great we art. That's what we sing, essentially. How great we art. But this Roman centurion said, "I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. Just speak the word." That's humility. But then he exercised and demonstrated faith. And he showed us what authority, which we talked about last time, is about. He said, "I say to this man, and look, go do that," and he goes do it. No back talk. "Yes, sir," snaps a salute, and, you know, 5 minutes later it's done. And he gives three examples of doing exactly that. And said, "Lord, I understand what authority is. All you got to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "That's great faith." And he understood authority, Jesus said. And he demonstrated humility, Jesus said. But great faith. You know, if you want something from God, you can have it. Now, if you want a Cadillac from God, well, maybe you ought to get a job. Get off the sofa, turn that idiot on the television off, who's telling you to sow a seed to get your Cadillac, and go get a job. It's plain and simple. But if your aunt's sick, got terminal cancer, got a few weeks to live, and you get on your knees and you call your pastor and you make it to Sunday school early and say, "Look, guys, I need you to pray for this." If you call out to God, it just might be that your aunt will be healed. If you need something from God and you believe, you can have it. Not money, not interested in that. But if you really need something from God that the Bible says you can have it. If you put your trust in Him and you look to Him and you exercise genuine faith and you come in humility, not proclaiming your goodness and righteousness. But this man was not Jewish. He was a Roman. He was Italian. He was from Rome. I don't know that he was necessarily from the city of Rome itself, but he was a Roman citizen, Roman centurion, was in the army, what have you. He was not Jewish. He was what we call a Gentile. A Gentile is somebody that's not Jewish. And like I said, I've got three pages of notes here that I'd like to talk about. But before I do, I want to say this. This man came to God, which was against his religion. It was against his politics. He humbled himself and he came to God. We need to have this attitude that this man had. I was discussing this morning on Facebook the patriarch Jacob. Remember, Jacob wrestled with that angel until the break of day. And he said, "Angel, whoever you are," and we kind of think it's this or that. Could have been the Lord Jesus Christ that came and wrestled, we think. Not sure. Regardless, doesn't matter. But he said, "You angel from God, I won't let you go until you bless me." And he wrestled all night. At some point, maybe the angel had the upper hand, had him pinned. Maybe at some point, Jacob kind of got his second wind and pinned the angel, what have you, I don't know. But when the angel said, "Hey, it's time for me to go," Jacob said, "Oh, no, you're not. Not until you bless me." We understand that he was blessed, but more important than the blessing was the fact that he wrestled with God. He had it in his mind that he's not going to let God go, whatever the angel was, I don't know. Not going to let him go back up to heaven until he received. If we have that kind of faith, we can have the things that we need from God. Again, aunt sick with cancer. If we wrestle with God, God will move on our behalf. Don't know what he'll do. Can't tell God what to do. You really need to have the attitude that God tells us what to do. But if we wrestle with God, he will move on our behalf. But again, Gentiles, and like I said, I got 3 pages of notes. I could take you to Isaiah chapter 42, where it says, speaking of Jesus Christ, and I believe I went over this passage before, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." But it goes on down in verse 4, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." A lot is said about Bible prophecy, but one thing that's not mentioned in Bible prophecy is the United States. About the only inkling we get that the United States or North and South America even existed is in phrases like this, "the isles," somewhere across the sea, somewhere we don't know where, and nobody until Columbus or what have you, nobody knew that there was an entire couple of continents over there. But it does give a couple of brief passages, brief allusions to the Americas, perhaps. "The isles shall wait for his law." Wasn't until 1492 that Columbus discovered America. But when this was written, it was 1,400 years and something before America was discovered. The isles had to wait 1,400 years for the law of God, the gospel, to reach these shores. Matthew chapter 12, start at verse 20. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." And like I said, I've got page after page after page of notes talking about the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 17, "that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, says the Lord, and who doeth all these things." We understand that salvation is of the Jews, that Christ came to the Jews, to his own people. But it says right here in this verse that Gentiles would call upon the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we know this verse, speaking of the great outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria." Okay, we understand that he's talking about the land of Israel. But there's a progression in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and then to the Samaritans, where Jesus must needs go. But then to the uttermost part of the earth, the isles shall wait for his law. And again, the Spirit of God was given on the day of Pentecost so that we could be witnesses unto Christ. I love to sing, shout, dance, what have you. So glad I'm full of the Holy Ghost, but it's for the gospel. It's to enable and empower us to preach the gospel. And we must be about the Father's business. There's a lot of foolishness and nonsense in churches and on television, on the internet, what have you. But the Holy Ghost was given that we could preach Christ. Let's get back to the old message before the advent of television. Let's teach repentance, forsaking of sin. Let's teach holy living. Let's teach turning to God with your whole heart. Let's teach discipleship. But let's do it. Let's preach the gospel. Let's win souls. That's what it's about. That's always what it's been about. And just because we have this nonsense on television doesn't change what it's about. Let's get back to the truth. But as I said, salvation is of the Jews. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Look at that. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in Abraham and in his nation. His nation, obviously, being Israel. You know, today, it's not popular to support Israel. Our Washington officials go to the UN and present that Israel is the cause of all the trouble in the Middle East. And if we could just get rid of Israel, things would be great in Syria and in Iraq. I mean, never mind ISIS. I mean, everything would be just great if we could put sanctions upon Israel. Just, I mean, forget about all the hundreds and thousands of Christians in all these different countries that are beheaded in the name of Allah. Let's get rid of Israel and things will be great. But that's not what the Bible says. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 36, "And his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there." God chose Jerusalem to put his name there. God chose Israel. Out of all the nations of the earth, God chose Israel to be a light to the Gentiles. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 4, "And he built altars in the house of the Lord, which the Lord said, in Jerusalem I will put my name." 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And he's quoting Isaiah, one of the prophets, "But it was said of Israel that they're a chosen people, a holy nation, and in Israel the entire world would see the gospel." We understand that Christ came to Israel as a Jew, as King of the Jews. If you put yourself against Israel and the Jews, you can be sure that God has put himself against you. And I would not place bets that God would lose that battle. John chapter 4, verse 22, "Ye worship, ye know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." But Paul in Romans chapter 2 says that Jew and Gentile alike, we need to humble ourselves before God. Jew and Gentile alike, we need to find salvation in the Lord. For there's no respect of persons with God. God did choose Israel above all nations of the world. That is true. But then Paul says that he counted Jew and Gentile both unrighteous, unholy, unworthy, and condemned alike, so that God would be able to save some. Mark chapter 15, verse 25 and 26, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. John chapter 1, verse 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men, through him, might believe. He, or John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light being Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. We understand that Jesus, King of the Jews, came to the Jewish nation, and they crucified him. Many, 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 many thousands believed him, followed him for 3.5 years. But in the end, the religious leaders crucified him, rejected him. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. In other words, you don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to have that bloodline. Nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. You can be a child of God. It's God's will that you be a child of God. But it's through Christ, the King of the Jews, that you can be reconciled to God. We just had, a couple of weeks ago, Easter, and we understand that that holiday is based off of Passover. And we know the Passover story. We've seen, perhaps, the Ten Commandments. Everybody's seen that. We understand that. We understand that there's the Passover meal, the Seder, they call it, that they were to eat every year in commemoration of the great deliverance that God gave the Jews when he brought them out of Egypt. But it says in chapter 12, I believe it is, of Exodus, that when a stranger, in verse 48, shall sojourn or spend time with thee, and will keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth with you. Salvation is of the Jews, of that there is no doubt. But when we come to Christ, Paul says we're grafted in to the nation of Israel. And we're just like Jews at that point, through faith. We're grafted in, and one law shall be to him that is homeborn or a Jew, and to the stranger, the Gentile, that makes his home in the nation of Israel. And again, that's by faith that we're saved. And Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, speaking of Gentiles, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Look to him. There's power in his name. There's help. There's healing. There's hope. There's deliverance in his name. Can't get off drugs? Sick? Doctor says we don't know what to do? Whatever your trouble is, look to him. There's healing in his name. All things are possible, only believe.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.